If you have your Bibles, take your copy, please, and turn to John's Gospel in the 21st chapter. So we're picking up in a conversation that we kind of started last week, looking at the month of April. Of Easter's happened, and now what? How does the resurrected Jesus treat us? How do we engage with the resurrected Jesus? And I'm so glad the Gospel writers were led by the Holy Spirit to include this for us, because it's life-changing if you let it, if you lean in and believe it. It's a game changer. We're going to look at one of my favorite conversations in all of Scripture. It's between Jesus and Peter after they had filled their bellies with bread and fish, standing over a charcoal fire. John 21, beginning with verse 15. I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time in honor of God's word. Let's read three verses together, 15, 16, and 17. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told him. A second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told him. He asked him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep," Jesus said. Father, you do know everything. You know our heart's affections and where they lie. We can't hide that from you. So I pray, Father, that even those things that we're blind to about ourselves, that you aren't, would you bring them to the light? So that we can be free. Jesus, you know that there are tons of different opinions about this text. There is so much going on here. So I ask that you would help me stay focused, so that all of us in this room can encounter what I believe you want us to encounter from this text today. Meet us where we are and take us, change us into the men and women, boys and girls you have created us to be. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus pulls his disciples aside. He says, "Hey, who are people saying that I am?" And they come back with a variety of responses. They've checked their Facebook feed. Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're the prophet Isaiah. Still others, they're saying, you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. They're kind of weirded out. And then Jesus, I wished I could have seen the look on his face and heard the tone of his voice. Just imagine him staring a hole through his disciples. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? For a long time, I have heard, and I myself have preached, that is the single most important question to be asked and the single most important question that demands an answer. Who do you say Jesus is? I've heard all my life that that's the most important question. And your answer will affect your eternity. And your right now. And I must say, I still believe it is a very important question. Critical. You must know who Jesus of Nazareth is. You must have a right conviction. It affects your life now and in eternity. But I got to be honest, I don't think it's the most important question you can ask or that can be asked of you. You see, Peter had the right answer in Matthew 16. I can just imagine him. Yes, Peter. Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is my interpretation. Actually, he probably looked behind him at his boys. And Jesus goes, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John." Right on. Now, he's probably really. Right answer. But less than 10 minutes later, Jesus calls Peter Satan. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter didn't understand something yet. I believe it is a very important question and critical, and I don't want to diminish its importance at all, but I believe there's a question that's asked that's much more important. And that isn't just, do you know Jesus? Do you love him? I know a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus but could care less about him. I know a lot of people that know a lot of right facts about Jesus, but they could do without him. I know a lot of people that love Jesus if they think Jesus can get them something, but when something happens that they didn't see coming, they leave Jesus. It's possible to know a lot of facts about someone, but not really love them, especially the way the love Jesus calls us to. I know a lot of facts about Donald Trump, but I don't love him. I know a lot of facts about Nick Saban. I mean, they're just so close. But I sure don't love him. Yeah. I know some things about P.K. Subban. Don't know anything about hockey. But I don't love him. Not the love that Jesus calls us to. No, I don't believe the most important question is, who do you say Jesus is, as critical as it is? The most important question is, do you love him? Him. You see, that question is a question about relationship. Do you love me? If somebody asks you that, they're being vulnerable, they're taking a risk, they're laying their cards out on the table, they are saying, I want a relationship with you. Are you in? Do you love me is a question about relationship. It's going beyond just knowledge and doctrinal conviction. It's knowing. It's going beyond just this very dry, stale, I believe this, and this. It's going deeper into a relationship. And Jesus is saying, do you love me? Now, to be sure, there's some restoration going on here in this text, right? Come on, you're the 9 o'clock crowd. I expect that from the 10:30. There's some restoration going on here. Thank you. They're standing by a charcoal fire. Code wouldn't allow me, but I wanted to have one going this morning. And I think that's important. And Jesus asked how many times to Peter? Three. Because you know what happened the afternoon of Jesus' arrest, right? Before Jesus was arrested, you remember what happened? There was a conversation Jesus and Peter had. Jesus said to Peter that afternoon, hey, Satan has asked me, or has told me that he's going to sift you. And he says, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, which is early, before the rooster crows in the morning, you were going to deny knowing me three times. You know what Peter does? You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to deny you. And then he throws his friends under the bus. They may. I mean, Dust, you can go back and look at this. He said, these guys might, but I won't. You're out of your mind. I'm not going to deny you. And you know what happens? I mean, Peter had just told Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to do it. And even if they did, I wouldn't. Jesus gets arrested, taken to trial, and three different times, one of them, while he's warming himself by a charcoal fire, he denies knowing Jesus three times. And the last one, I forget which gospel writer, I'm sorry, I forgot to look it up on my way in. But one of the gospel writers tells us that Peter was so close to Jesus that third time, right after the third time, the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at Peter. You ever get that look from your daddy? And they hadn't talked since then. They hadn't had a conversation since that time. There was ice in the air. Is it ever tense between you and somebody? Okay, not you, but somebody you know. You can't move forward until you clear the air. It's just weird. And they hadn't had a conversation yet. The last time they'd had a conversation before what we just read in John 21, Peter is saying, I'll never deny you. You don't know what you're talking about. Even if these guys all do, I won't. And they hadn't talked since then. And they need to have a session. And Jesus says, look with me again in verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, again, you can just smell the charcoal fire. They say, by the way, that smell is one of the first and most the most important prompts to remind you of something, to bring something to mind. And so they're standing over a charcoal fire after they had eaten breakfast. And look what Jesus says. Jesus is savage. Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Ooh. Because days earlier he had said, even if they don't, I never will deny you. And then Jesus says, Simon, do you love me more than these? Peter's a little more humble now. He doesn't say, I love you more than these. He says, yes, Lord, you know everything. I said you didn't know what you were talking about, but you know everything. You know that I love you. And by the way, he does this in front of the five or six or seven disciples that are there. There's something rich about being real with a community of believers. That's another sermon. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. Second time he asked in verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Again, there's that, you know. Before it was, you don't know what you're talking about. Now it's, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. Verse 17, he asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. Well, I guess so, because it's hitting Peter exactly what's going on. This is the third time. Charcoal fire. He knows about the sin. He's doing something here. He was grieved. He asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Three denials. Three questions. Each time Peter says, you know that I love you. And each time Jesus says, actions speak louder than words, Peter. If you do, you will feed my sheep. If you do, you'll do what I'm calling you to do, and that's take care of my flock, which, as if you know the rest of the New Testament, he grows into that. So there's a restorative thing here, but I think there's something deeper than just clearing the air. I think there's something else going on here than just getting the sin part out of the way. I don't think Jesus wants Peter to go back home and say, he knows I blew it, and Jesus sitting on his high horse saying, he knows that I know and all this stuff happened and I'm better than him. I don't think that was the case. And I've thought about that. Every now and then, Katie and I will get in a discussion. 99 times out of 100 is something I've done. And it will be tense at home. Real tense. Like back to me at the kitchen sink scrubbing dishes tense. Can I help? Nope. You need? Nope. I thought, why do I want the air clear? Why do I want to resolve it? Why do I want to talk about it? Oftentimes I don't want to talk about it. Why do I need to talk about it? So I can get the dishes clean? Better not be. It's because I want her back. I want to clear the air so I can have her back. Jesus just didn't clear in the air so he can say, I know all about your sin, Peter. Have a nice day. He wants Peter. Jesus is after something. Jesus is after a relationship. Jesus is after something deep here. Jesus wants Peter's heart. Asked three times, he says, do you love me? Because think about it. What had Peter been doing with Jesus prior to this moment? Peter didn't love Jesus. Peter loved what Jesus could do for Peter. Read the Gospels. As long as Peter thought Jesus was going to help him be the popular, powerful, reputation guy, he was going to use Jesus as a tool to get what he really wanted. He didn't love Jesus. He loved what Jesus could do for Peter. How do we know? What happened the very night Jesus needed him most? The night when it all started to crumble for Peter. I thought it was supposed to be this way. He didn't love Jesus. He loved Peter and what he was hoping Jesus would do for Peter. It's easy to do, isn't it? Jesus wanted to know if Peter loved him, not what he could do for Peter. And church, I'm here to tell you, I am living proof that it's easy to use Jesus to get your own agenda. It is horrifyingly easy in church. You want to get people to love you in church? Just play the game. And it is very easy to do. You want a good reputation as a good, outstanding citizen and a good church-going person? Just go to church twice a month. You want to pad your resume? Be a member of a good church and go enough where the pastor recognizes you. Sign up to be in the choir or host a life group or memorize some scripture or serve on the serving team, and maybe God will make your marriage better if you do those things. I'm gonna do these things so God will help my marriage. I'm gonna go to church today so my week will be better. I'm gonna listen to Christian radio so my kids will love Jesus. I'm gonna have my quiet time today so when I'm done, I can put my coffee down and my Bible and my notes, take a picture, and show the world on social media that I've been with Jesus. None of those things are bad. Unless you're using those things to get your reputation? Do you love Jesus, or do you love what you hope Jesus can do for you? Do you love Jesus, or do you love what you hope Jesus can do for you? You know what one of the most, not one of the most horrifying scriptures in all the Bible for me? It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where Jesus is looking at a bunch of churched people in the last day. Church people. And on the last day, these church people are going to say, look what I did for you, Jesus. I went to church. I gave my tithe. I did this ministry. I signed up for Engage Middle Tennessee Day. I was in a life group. I served all these things. I was in the choir. I was here all the time. When I could be at church, I was at church. And Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I don't know you. That scares me to death, because it's possible to look like you love Jesus, but what you really love is you, and you're using him to get more of you. When Jesus says, I never knew you, he's telling us the point of it all. The point is, I want to know you, and I want what you do to overflow out of a relationship with me. I want what happens to be something that you and I do together. I want what you do in your life to overflow because there's a relationship with me. Don't use me to further your reputation. Love me. Let's do this together. Can you imagine if Katie just married me for my looks? I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, it's getting worse by the second. I know she didn't just marry me for my looks. Because when we got married, I was about 195. I was driving a late 90s Honda Civic Black. Hey, we got married in the late 90s, all right? Don't laugh. I had some abs, and I had some meat on my bones that resembled a little muscle. And now, almost 20 years later, I'm gray, I'm about 20 pounds overweight. I think some abs are there, but it's not a six pack, it's a 3 liter. And there ain't nothing here on the arms. And I drive a 01 nasty green Honda Accord. But it's paid for. She's not in it for the looks. She loves me. And when I start changing, and I don't look like I did in 1999, she's still in. You know what I don't know, but I'm guessing. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Me. Not what you hope I can do for you. Me. Are you in it with me? Because it's not going to look like you think it is. But do you love me? Man, what a question. What a question. I love the fact that Jesus' love for us is such that he's willing to go at our own pace. He's willing to meet us where we are. Because some of you, if you're being honest, and by the way, you might as well be honest because he knows your heart. You're not sure. I don't know. And that's okay. One thing we miss in the English translations is the word for love, words for love used in this text. Some commentators think there's nothing to it. I think they're idiots. Excuse me. I think they're wrong. There's a lot of words for love used in the New Testament. There are two that are used here, two different words used in this exchange between Peter and Jesus. One word is the word agape. Perhaps you've heard of it. Agape love. It's unconditional, no strings attached, selfless, sacrificial. I'm going to love you even if you give me nothing in return. That kind of love. That's agape. That's all in kind of love. If you can do nothing for me, I'm going to love you completely. That's the love we associate with God, right? That's a word used in this exchange. But there's another word used in this exchange, a word for love. Phileo. Not phileo fish that you get at McDonald's. Phileo is an intense love, but it's a lot less intense than agape. It's brotherly love. It's warmth. It's sincere, but it has strings attached. It's friendship type love. Still good love, but not all in. And one of the things we miss in this discussion is the usage of love. And I think we miss something big time if we're not careful. Because Jesus starts off this exchange and says, Peter, do you agape me more than these? And you know what Peter says back? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. That's like me saying to my wife, I love you, babe. Do you love me? And she goes, well, let's just be friends. It's not that funny, even though it happened a time or two, but I got her. But it's like you're reading this, and if you're reading this in the original language, you're like, whoa, he didn't ask that. He didn't ask if you loved him in this kind of love. He asked if you were all in, and Peter says, you know my heart, right? Because I can't lie about this. I love you, but I'm just not all there yet. Second time, Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. And then the third, you know what word Jesus uses? Hey, Peter, do you phileo me? And the Bible says Peter was grieved. You know why I think he was grieved? Because he wanted to be all in, but he just wasn't there yet. And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Let me tell you why I love that. Hear me. Hear the word. Agape love means I'm all in, no matter what. And if Jesus had responded to Peter, if you're just phileo and you're not agape, you're done. I'm done. We're through. But that's not agape. Agape says, I love you, and if you're not there yet, I'm willing to meet you where you are. If this is where you are, come, because I love you, and I want to take you to the next level. If you and me are in, and you love me in this way, then let's just go through life. Let's do this thing together. It's going to be real. It's going to be intense. Let's have a relationship together, and I promise we're going to get to agape, and we're going to get there, and it's going to be beautiful. So Jesus is willing. He knows where your heart is. He's willing. He says, I agape you. I'm willing to meet you there so I can take you to where we're going to go. Peter got it later. I read something. You know, he wrote a letter. He wrote two. Easy to find, 1 and 2 Peter. And he was feeding his flock in these letters. And you don't get 5 minutes into his first letter, and you know what he says to his people? Even though you don't see him, you agape him. Where did they learn how to agape Jesus? Peter. They got there. So, church, do you love Jesus? Don't answer me. If so, how does Jesus know? Before you start thinking, well, look at all these things that I'm doing. Stop. There's going to be a lot of church people departing from Jesus when they say all those things. What are you doing with him because it's Jesus? What are you and Jesus doing together? What are you doing that he's leading you to do rather than doing because it's church stuff? Do you love Jesus? And if so, how would Jesus know? If you don't, or if you're not sure yet, where can you start? What's the next step for you? You're like, I don't know. Where can you start? I'm going to pray, and Brad's going to lead us in a song, and then we're going to turn you loose. But I want to encourage you to respond. Jesus asked 307 questions in the Gospels. He gave about 3 answers. Because he wants you to wrestle with reality. I don't know what that next thing is for you. I don't know what's going on in your heart. But you've got people here that can help you process this. There's going to be people all around this building, up front and the back, even in the next steps room, that can help you process this. The altar's open. You can stay here till 10:30. You can stay here past 10:30, just be a little weird. You say, well, does Jesus love me? It's the Jesus who came out of the tomb that asked for your love. And actions speak louder than words. Father, thank you. May we do serious business with you right now. You know our hearts. Even if we're not all the way there yet, you don't turn your back. You meet us where we are, and you'll walk with us. Teach us what it looks like, what it means to love you as a response of your love for us. I pray this in Jesus' name.